Well, I hope to be able to see you this week on Tuesday at noon at Mount Pleasant United Methodist Church. The Soup and the Word services have been going extremely well. We had a good group of people here, and they had more people last week than we had here. The first week, there were 91 folks at Soup and the Word on Tuesday. So I hope that I'll be able to see you at Mount Pleasant United Methodist Church this week. If you need directions, let me know. I'll just tell you, go towards the trash dump, but don't go that far on 52. It's a church up on the hill before you get there. If you get to the edge of town, you've gone too far. Okay? But I look forward, and I look forward. I've been praying for Paige as she shares with us this week a devotion during our time there. So I hope to see you then. John puts this cleansing of the temple right at the beginning of Jesus's ministry. In the other gospels, it's at the end. Now, I can't explain that to you. I just let it exist. Okay? I just let it be the way it is. But John puts it right at the beginning of Jesus's ministry. And in order for you to understand what's going on here, what's happening here, I want you to understand that it was by Jewish law that if you could, men particularly were to be in Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, one of three times that men should be there to celebrate what's going on. So what happens when this is going on is that during Passover, many people would come from far away to celebrate in Jerusalem. They would come from the furthest reaches of Israel to come for Passover. Now, all were to bring an offering with them. All were to bring to pay the temple tax. So all were to bring that and Josephus, it talks about that in Jerusalem during Passover, there may have been as many as 2.7 million people. Okay, we're talking about a town growing enormously. Now, I want you to think about that as you think about that. These people are coming from far distances to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, that understanding that is behind the Lord's Supper. Okay? You can't understand the Lord's Supper without understanding what Passover is. Because Jesus was the perfect Lamb of God who was our sacrifice that happened on the Passover. He was the one who died for our sins. These folks are getting together to celebrate a meal, to celebrate a time that they have celebrated for thousands of years. Now, if you come from the farthest distances of the land, or even if you came from overseas somewhere, imagine what it would be like to have to bring a lamb with you, or a dove, or even a goat. To bring those things with you from the farthest distances to Jerusalem so that you could offer it up as a sacrifice. Can you imagine what that would be like? I don't think they had little kennel boxes to put the lamb in, by the way. I think the lamb walked with them, traveled with them. Now, many people just couldn't do this because you were only supposed to offer a perfect lamb, a perfect sacrifice. And I can only imagine how difficult that would be, making sure your sacrifice stays perfect over a couple of 100 miles walk. How about you? Can you imagine what that would be, tending to this animal, whatever it might be? So there were sheep, there were goats, there were cows, there were doves. So what I want to tell you is animals for sacrifice and foreign coins exchange were needed businesses. It's very easy for me to carry in a little pouch the money I need to buy a lamb when I get to Jerusalem. Okay. Now, the other thing that I hadn't talked about yet was this foreign exchange of money. You had to pay a temple tax when you went. When you went, that temple tax could only be paid in Jewish money. It could not be paid in any money that had the figure of any person on it. So if you had the regular money that would be used in the world in that day, it had a picture of Caesar on it. That money had to be exchanged in order for you to give to the temple. So both of these businesses were legal, proper, good businesses that must be maintained in order for the people to have what they need for the Passover. They would have to exchange their money. They would most often bring money with them to buy a sacrifice. Much easier than bringing it with you. Okay? Much easier than traveling with it. So what's going on here then? Why is Jesus driving them out? What's happening? If these are businesses that were needed in order for the Passover to be celebrated, what's happening? I'm willing to say here's what's happening. Instead, the focus was not on worshiping God and helping people, but it was on taking advantage of people. I imagine that the prices of sacrifices were a little bit higher than they would have been if you bought a lamb at home. Don't you think? I would imagine that the exchange rate was a little bit different. You didn't get as much Jewish money for your Roman money that you had when you approached as you might somewhere else in the country. Now, that never happens in our world anymore, does it? I mean, when dangers and things, the one thing that always got me, I grew up in a hurricane area. Even though now I'm deep in the mountains of Virginia, I still track hurricanes. I've been tracking hurricanes my whole life. And guess what happens when hurricanes head towards the United States? The price of gas goes up. Now, why does it go up? Oh, because we're having problems with production and we have to shut things off. The gas that we're going to buy has already been produced and is already at the gas station. Why does it need to go up? It would be, if that's the truth, then it would be the gas down the road somewhere that would go up, isn't it? And we've seen people do that through different circumstances around the world. A situation happens and exchange rates go up. That's what was happening here. These people had set up in the temple courts. Now I want you to understand, as this reads, you hear in the temple, it did not happen in the temple itself. Because you and I would not have been allowed to go in the temple. Not at all. Could not enter it. And a matter of fact, the women couldn't get as close as the men could to the temple. Around the temple building proper, there was a courtyard of priests. Only the priest could go in that courtyard. Outside of that was a courtyard of men. Only men could go there. Outside of that was a courtyard of women. That's all the further women were allowed to go. And outside of that, there was a sign that hung up that said, if you are Gentile and you pass through this gate, you will be killed. Could you imagine coming to church today and the furthest you could get is the street? You couldn't get any closer? That's what was going on for them. And out there in that courtyard of the Gentiles, what was happening was this is where they were selling things, not in the temple proper. not even in the courtyard of the priest or the men or the women. It was out in the colonnades. It was out in those places of the Gentiles. It was not right in the sanctuary itself, so to speak. And I am pretty sure that what was happening was people were taking advantage of other people. And the focus that had come about was not on helping people. The focus was not upon worshiping God, but the focus was upon how much money can I make off these folks who are coming to the temple this week. That's what I think the money changers and the livestock sale was all about. It was about how much money I can make, because these people couldn't afford to bring with them their sacrifice. So Jesus drove them from the temple and helped to refocus people on worship. Helped to refocus people on worship. He said, this place is about worship. It's not about making money. This place is about worship. It's not about how to take advantage of folks. This place is about worship, not about my own straight desires. Because the desire of these people was what? Wow, festival's coming. I'm making money. And I got to make money while money can be made. Because here they are, and all of them need what they need. That's why I think Jesus drove them out, and that's why I think that he said, get these out of here. Stop turning my Father's house into a market. He told them a little bit later, and this is something that deals much more with the crucifixion and resurrection. He said, destroy this temple. I'll raise it again in 3 days. And the Jewish leaders were like, you'll do what? It's taken us 46 years to build what we have. You can't do it in 3 days. They couldn't understand what he was talking about. And even the disciples didn't understand what he was talking about until much later. But here's something I think we need to think about. Our priorities and our choices should be examined to see if we're worshiping God and helping people. Are we worshiping God and helping people here? Or are we making choices because this is the way it has to be? This is the way that's always served me. Folks, I think we need to open up our thinking. How are we helping people step closer to God? And are we doing some things that are keeping people from being able to step closer? Are there some things that we need to change? Are there some things that we need to look at in a deeper way and ask, why do we do that? Every year as a pastor, I get questions. Why do we celebrate Lent? That's another denomination's thing. No, it's not. It's a Christian thing. And Christians for centuries have celebrated Lent. For centuries. I really think what happened at the Reformation, I'm thankful for the Reformation, by the way. Okay, I want to acknowledge that. Because it brought about, eventually, the Baptist faith. In case you never knew, the Baptist faith does not go back to John the Baptist. He did not lead the first Baptist church in Jerusalem. There was no Baptist church back then. But I will tell you, you can find a book that will explain to you there was. I think some things at the Reformation were thrown out for the wrong reasons. One of the things that got thrown out for some denominations was stained glass windows. Do you know why stained glass windows started? It was not for paying an artist big money. That's not what it was for. Stained glass windows were started because people couldn't read. But as a pastor, I could stand in front of a stained glass window that depicts a story from the Bible, and I can tell you the story. And from there on out, as people look at that window, what do they remember? The story. A story they couldn't read, but a story they could look in the stained glass window and tell again. Some denominations at the Reformation threw out stained glass windows. Actually broke them out of the church and said never again. Reformation, there were some who took out every instrument there was in the church and said never again will we have an instrument in the church. I'm glad we have instruments in the church. Amen? What about you? You know, sometimes we need to look into why do we do the things that we do? And is the thing that we're doing, is it helping people to worship God? And is it helping people to grow closer to God? And one of the things I've learned is that for many people, things have to happen different ways for different people. One of the reasons why we have different churches. One of the reasons why we have different flavors of Baptist churches, even. Because for some people, worship needs to happen a certain way for them to come closer to God. But one of the things I'm very aware of in our world is that there's a whole community of people that think church serves no purpose whatsoever. And the percentage of those people in our population is growing drastically fast. They're called nuns, not N-U-N, N-O-N-E. They find no use for church. How are we helping them to worship? How are we helping to bring them in? Do some things that we do need to be set aside to bring those folks in? Do we need to change how we do some things? I know the answer is easy. Well, Pastor, you just said there's lots of different churches. They can go to another one. I think we need to reach out. We need to help people. If sitting on the ground with them helps them worship God, we need to sit on the ground. And then we need to have a whole bunch of younger people help us back up after our worship service. Amen? Jesus was driving out those who were taking advantage of people, expecting people to do things a certain way, expecting people so that they could gain notoriety, they could gain profits, they could. And Jesus said, this place is about worship. What is worship? Worship is meeting God, hearing God speak, and responding to God. It's all four things. Responding to God is key. If you've heard God speak to you, you got to respond, don't you? To not respond says, oh, never mind, God, I got it. Worship is acknowledging who God is, not taking advantage of people. Worship is looking at God and recognizing God for who God is and not trying to put God in a box. Worship is opening our hearts like we never have before. And not allowing anything to be in its way. So that we truly can hear what God has. And I think that's what Jesus was trying to get at. Stop this busyness of taking advantage of people. Stop this structure sometimes in order to come closer to God. I mean, just think about it. The people weren't even allowed to come into the sanctuary. And we've changed that. We let people come in the sanctuary. Think about it. I'm going to ask you this. What activity or busyness needs to be cleaned out of the temple of our lives? Because Scripture says you're a sanctuary. We're going to sing that here in a minute. Make me a sanctuary. Scripture says you're a sanctuary. What activity or busyness needs to be cleaned out of your life so that you can worship God? So many people are so busy, and that's one of the reasons. Here's one of the funniest excuses I ever hear from people about not coming to church. You guys gather at church too early for me. And I always want to ask, do you go to work before 11 o'clock in the morning? What's so busy about our lives that we can't worship God? That we can't stop and recognize and help other people worship God in whatever the situation, wherever it is, what needs to be cleaned out? Let's pray. Lord, I don't know that I want to be there that day when Jesus cleans the temple. Because, Lord, I just have a feeling that He'll ask me to clean out something I don't want to. Some requirement that I have for worship, some expectation that I expect. And He'll ask me to toss that out so I can grow closer to You. And Lord, that's hard. That's really hard. So we pray, Lord, that You would show us what we need to set aside so that we can worship You better. What we need to deal with and work on so that we can hear You better. And most of all, Lord, whatever busyness or activities going on that's keeping us from responding to You when You call to us, help us to set it aside. Help us to set it aside that we might be able to worship You. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.